and welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's draw with East Fife, preview the trip to league leader Stenhouse Muir, and with Peter Pollock netting his first Blue Tune goal on Saturday, we'll assess his performances so far. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I'm Colin Byers, and with myself is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How are you, Colin?
Not too bad. We're back to normality after the festivities and the celebrations of last week's episode. We are back to kind of just a bog standard issue this week.
Aye, patchy form, is it? Really, really patchy. Three wins in 2024. It's not great form, but it's another game undefeated. I guess you could look at it that way.
I was meaning the celebration with the podcast 200th last week.
Oh, well, we're certainly one of the forms out the window. That's my worry.
I thought your form was patchy. As we know, it's 100. We've been consistent for 200 episodes.
We've been more consistent than others, that's for sure. But the form on the park is certainly patchy, that's for sure.
And talking of last week's episode, just want to take the time just to thank everybody that took part in the video or sent us video clips and the wee montage that we put out last week. It was great to get so many messages coming in, and obviously there was a lot of messages and comments and tweets and emails, etc. that came through as well, which we were rather blown away by the amount of congratulations that we got for hitting the 200 mark last week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of messages coming in. Hopefully we've managed to capture them all. Yeah, really, really pleased with the time that everybody took to put in messages, whether it was a message, a DM, or whether it was a video that was put in. And yeah, we really appreciate all the messages that came in.
Even just folks saying this at the game on Saturday as well, which was good, which was nice. Just saying well done. And, you know, sometimes in life it's all really you only really need just as a nice wee well done or a congratulations.
I'm not sure if it was more surprising that the fact that we got to 200 or the fact that it had been going for 4.5 years. Sometimes you say, if it was 200 episodes, oh, that's really good. You say, we've been doing it for 4.5 years. God, has it been that long, really? Time really does fly when you're doing it weekly.
A lot of folk didn't think we was going to stick at it for more than a few weeks, never mind 4.5 years.
Aye, so when you think we've got to 200 episodes, some folk didn't think we'd get to 200 minutes. So, we've come a long way in the 4.5 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, very much appreciate it as always, and it's always good to know that we've got a base of a fan base there as well that are loyal to us every week as well.
Yeah, I think that's reflected in the numbers, is it? The listens that we see, and you know, it's very consistent. We like to think that we're putting out consistent content, especially on the night, you know, when it's coming out. And we appreciate everybody that listens and puts in their support as well.
And one other thing we'll touch on before we get on to the East Fife game. Last week it was announced that there will be a new community foundation, the PFCCF, which is obviously Peterhead Football Club Community Foundation, has already started up. Going by the statement that was put out, it was obviously something that came out through the COVID terms, in terms of, you know, obviously Peterhead doing quite a lot of community stuff, helping with the community during that time, during the pandemic, and it's one of those positive things that's come out of the pandemic, and it's something that they're looking to continue on and try and build on that initial start, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the club do a lot of good things within the community, a lot of what maybe goes unnoticed or unheard of if you're not within that social group for whatever event's going on. And I know they've recently done a few things with care homes in the community as well, and they also do that thing at Christmas with everybody that's maybe struggling or a wee bit lonely, they get together. So yeah, they do a lot of really good work. you know, and it's good to see Danny fully focused on that as well. You know, he's front and centre of it. And yeah, a lot of good things coming out of the club on the park and as well as off the park.
Just quoting off the website, the aim is the club is aim is to increasing the support and services to the community. And obviously that is, as you've touched on there already, some of the elderly kind of side of things as well. But it's not just what you would think is the old and the vulnerable, but it is a youth sort of thing as well. It's for, it seems to be for all ages, because the three sort of main aims is health and well-being, education and employment, and then obviously football development as well.
Yeah, and sometimes you need that break in life, and if that means that you've got maybe a youngster coming through who really enjoys his football and wants to get into it, and there's a pathway there for employment, and also their mental well-being as well. Everything's coming together. As you said, it's for all ages. They do a lot of work for the elderly in the community, but they also do a hell of a lot of work for the youngsters as well. And it's great to see a pathway and everything coming together, because it is a community club. They are the heart of the town as well, and it's good to see all the positive impact it's making.
And I guess it's a bit like the football fans and training thing that Natty does, maybe once, maybe twice a year. So it's obviously it's guys and ladies as well who are looking to lose some weight. Maybe not sure how to go about it, but because it's based at the club, it's based around, you know, football kind of things. It's like-minded people trying to achieve targets in terms of losing weight. So with something like this, with the club getting involved with health and well-being, education, employment, it becomes a centrepiece. Everybody will probably more likely get involved because the people who are there will be like-minded people.
Yeah, I think that's really key, the fact that it's like-minded people. I also think that at times in certain ways of life, there's stigmas attached to certain things. And I think the fact that, as you rightly touched on there, the like-minded people, they're going for that goal and that reason on based on that, what you've said there about the getting fit and, you know, trying to maybe lose out a lot of that weight or just become more healthy, you know, and obviously then to do the dietary things as well and what you can do to improve your well-being. So, yeah, the fact that everything's coming together, I think the fact that it's the football club, I think it gets rid of that stigma that people maybe worry about. Mm. And, yeah, it's good to see that it's all coming together. As we've touched on, Danny's a key figure for the youngsters. You've got Natty maybe for your older people. And, you know, everything, it comes together at the heart of the town, and that being the football club.
And I'm interested to see how the football development side of things goes as well, because obviously they've got their coaching side of things, you know, during the summer holidays, Easter coaching as well for the kids, October holidays. Those things sell out pretty quick. Yeah. You've got to be on your marks to try and get your kid on there pretty quick. So it'd be interesting to see if that's one of the things that they will want to do, is try and increase the amount of coaches that they're going to have at these kind of youth events, in terms of, you know, and then maybe try and increase the numbers for the kids that's going. Obviously, keep an eye on, you know, one or two that might be of use for the future.
I think they're restricted in terms of when they could do it, especially Easter and October, though the kids only get 2 weeks off. But, you know, if they could increase their coaching, you know, staffing levels and get more kids through, that'd be brilliant. I think the fact that it sells out so quick as well, it's not just a program that's putting on, you know, to get the kids at the house for a couple of hours. It's a quality that they're putting on as well. Because if it wasn't a good, folk wouldn't go back to it. And, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people are going back to it, they've been before or know someone that's been. And yeah, like you said, if you're not there, if you're not at the reception area or on the phone, basically as soon as it goes on sale, then you struggle to get a place, because it is that popular, because it is such a good thing that they're doing for the kids.
And like so of every other club, it has these things as well. It's all community-based. It comes from the clubs getting involved with the community, but on the flip side, it's the community getting involved with the club as well, and it's a two-way thing. This kind of thing can only be successful if the community does get involved and tries to help out as well.
Oh, 100%. I think if you maybe go back 10 years ago now, the things were putting on by the club, and there just wasn't an uptake for certain things, whether the mindset of people have now changed, and they realise that the club, it's not just football, it's on. There's a lot of different things. We came at the function halls used a lot, the boardroom, different functions, different things throughout the week as well. So it's at the heart of the community, and as you said, it only works if it's a two-way thing. There's got to be people attending the things that are getting put on. The club are really good at putting things on. Sometimes it's maybe not as well advertised as what it maybe could be. And I think the club has admitted in the past that's maybe been an area to look at. But overall, that the uptake on these things at the club is, you know, generally very well received.
Yeah, and look forward to seeing how this progresses in the future and see how it goes. It should be a good thing. And as you said, there's Danny Strachan's going to be obviously heavily involved with it. There'll be other good people involved as well, which will make a success. But if you haven't seen it yet, but the PFCCF website is up and running, and that is at pfccf.co.uk. That is going to be a nightmare to try and do.
You've done well there, because I'd have stuttered my way through that.
folk listening to this, try to write that down at the same time. So it's PFC as in Peterhead Football Club, cf.co.uk. Hopefully that was clear as mud.
You've done well.
Right, so let's go on to Saturday's game against East Fife. 1-1 draw it was in the end. I think as you kind of touched on earlier on, inconsistency with our form at the minute, but and I think inconsistency within this game as well, you could probably say as well, it was the old cliched game of two halves, this one.
Well, 100%, you've seen the words out there in my notes. It's a game of two halves. I thought we were really good the first half. Our intensity, our pressing was really good. Nay, quite so good in the second half. And overall, in the balance of play, I think a point was probably a fair result for both teams. I think we edged the first half. I think East Fife had the better of the chances in the second half. And, you know, as the game was going on, you felt there was only maybe going to be one winner. It looked like it might have come for East Fife. There were a couple of good chances towards the end. But overall, given the form of both teams, going into like Dick Campbell, you know, that's now seven games unbeaten in a row for them. Yeah, I think a point was probably a fair result in the balance of play.
There was just the one change from the previous lineup. Peter Pollock came in for Alfie Stewart, who played on the Friday night for the Aberdeen under-18s, and this kind of goes back to the whole ridiculousness of this loan system that we've got here in Scotland, where you know you're loaning a player and he's still available for, you know, youth games, B games, etc. Now that was that's obviously Alfie's turned into a bit of a key player for us in recent weeks. You know, going into that game against the Ayr on the Friday night, he could have come out there with a nasty injury or something like that, which then could have affected our game plan for not just the next game, which obviously was East Fife, but for future games.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it in the past, haven't we? With Dundee players coming up on loan and then them playing in the Dundee game against Aberdeen. And hey, it's something I don't agree with, but obviously Aberdeen would have been fully, Peter Head would have been fully aware of the loan agreement with Aberdeen that he'd have been playing in these sort of games. It's a risk that we take. It's probably one of them we wouldn't have got Alfie had we not agreed to it. And yeah, I'm pretty sure he'd have played a bigger part on Saturday had he not been playing for Aberdeen the Friday. Thankfully, he's come through unscathed both Friday and Saturday's games. But yeah, it's a bit of a daft rule, but hey, there we are.
Yeah, because given the performance of last week, you would have gone into that game thinking, well, why change a winning side? And that is probably, had he not been playing on the Friday night, probably would have been that. It would have probably remained the same starting lineup.
Yeah, pretty sure it would have been the same starting 11. I don't you'd have needed to make any changes. You'd never really want to change a winning side. But Fad Alfie played the night before. You know, he's a young man as well. You kind of just burn him out. And yeah, frustrating because, like he's, as you said, he's been very key for us the last couple of weeks. Seems to be coming on a good game as well. And yeah, disappointing that we didn't you know, have him for longer on Saturday.
I was surprised actually he came off the bench. I was surprised he was on the bench for a kick-off, but he did come off the bench and play a small part in the game. But first half, as you said, very positive. We were, you know, on the front foot for the very beginning. I thought Jinky in particular was looking back to his old self, and said last week as well, obviously he got his goal and assist for the previous game. And Hamish Ritchie on the other side as well. Both of them were very very dangerous on the wings.
Yeah, very direct and very much on the front foot. I thought the way we lined up the system, the players in the right position as well. I thought we started the game really well. And yeah, we looked very dangerous. I think it was one of them games, again, any time we're going forward in the first half, it looked like we could score goals. And that's sort of back to our early season form, how we started the game, but probably didn't capitalise enough on our good first half performance.
It was positive, and you can maybe look at the performance of the East Fife keeper, Fleming, in goal, who had a couple of really good saves during the game, in both halves, in fact, and probably was one of their standout players for me, and he's one of those keepers as well. He's a really good keeper for this level.
Yeah, he's probably too good to be playing at this level. There is a couple of goalkeepers in the division that are probably could be playing at a higher level. I think the two saves that he made in the first half were, superb saves. And at that point, I do feel if we'd gone 2-0 up, I think it would have probably been enough for us to sort of see the game out pretty well, rather comfortably. But like at Fitbads, it's weird. Always at 1-0, you're always at danger of conceding, and then, the whole game and the whole mindset changing. And, the two saves they made in the first half certainly did keep East Fife in it.
And 1-0 for us at the minute doesn't seem to be a particularly comfortable scoreline as well, because there's always that danger that we are going to concede. And again, East Fife scoring on Saturday, just the one shot on target as well, which is nae for the first time this season.
No, it's happened a few times. It's difficult because, you speak to Ryan and Jordan as well, and they kind of just quite put their finger on it as well. I mean, every goal is preventable in some way. It depends how far back you go with it. But, the fact that they only had one shot on target on Saturday is probably the most frustrating thing. I think we had enough chances to win the game. I do think we should have been, at least two, maybe even three goals up before they even got their shot on target. And that's probably where the frustration comes from. It's maybe not the fact that we've conceded, it's the fact that we probably should have been 2 or 3 nil up at the time before we did concede. And these are a lot of things that the guys need to try and iron out a wee bit.
And before we got the opening goal, we did hit the ball in the net on 15 minutes. Hamish Ritchie, it was who scored it, but it was flagged for offside. There was a little bit of a confusion on the day as to who was offside, but having seen the highlights back again, it does look as though it's Kieran Shanks who is given offside for his initial shot that was, again, well saved by Fleming before it came back to Ritchie.
Yeah, I mean, the keeper Fleming, he didn't think he was offside. Shanks, it's a really good effort for him as well, to be fair. He's got on target like you'd expect him to do. He's been well saved, palmed into the path of Ritchie. It's a good finish for him. It's just unfortunate that it's offside.
Yeah, as I said, we did get the ball in the net again. This time it did count. It was Peter Pollitt who got the opening goal in 29 minutes. And as I said, Jinky heavily involved with this one. Good play actually down the left-hand side for Flynn Duffy and Jack Brown to get Jinky into a bit of space. And then getting the cross across and Pollitt just sort of toe-poking it into the net.
That's what Jinky's done the last few weeks, isn't it? He's been very direct, and it's one of them. It's first time across goal. He claims there's going to be guys in the box. He's just getting it into the right area. Peter Pollitt, he made a yard out of space. I think it's when the ball's played to Jinky, Pollitt sort of just takes one step back and then he goes forward again, sort of loses the defender, and a really good finish in the back of the net. Keeper on that occasion couldn't really do much about it. He's in a good area, but he just couldn't get down low enough to look.
And it's exactly what you're looking for your midfielders. We've got Joe McHugh, who's the sitting one, who's the sort of playmaker. You've got Jack Brown there, you've got Peter Pollitt sitting in front of him. You're screaming for those guys to be in the box, to be helping out the Shanks in that kind of area. And it's exactly where he needed to be. And as a result, he gets his first goal for Peterhead.
Oh, 100%. I think we've been moaned, maybe especially the last couple of months, that sometimes we're too easy to play against, where we're maybe too defensive-minded in the midfield area, especially when you've got Joe McKee and you've got Andy McCarthy. And I think the fact that we've got Ollett, Richie, O'Keefe, Jab Brown, you've got guys that are very talented. Sometimes you've got to go and allow them to express themselves. And I do think obviously there was a Stranraer game, and then the first half, when you've got these creative players, just giving them that freedom to go and do what they can do, you'll get the rewards of it. Like I said, if we'd gone 2-0 up on Saturday, I think we would have won the game pretty comfortably. You've just got to allow them to play, and I think, yeah, we are seeing the benefits of it. We're maybe just, you know, lacking keeping clean sheets a wee bit.
Yeah. The second goal we thought was going to get a second goal, I should have said, was again Fleming denying Kieran Shanks, this time in 39 minutes, and terrific save again. Just wondering maybe if he could have gone with his left foot rather than try to hit it with his right foot, which obviously he doesn't get much purchase, as much purchase on it as he would have liked. Maybe just to swing at it with his left foot, maybe would have carved away from Fleming this time.
Possibly, yeah. I wonder what. I don't think Kieran's shy of confidence, but I wonder if he was just, you know, firing all cylinders, whether he would have taken it first time on the left foot. But, you know, taking that away for Shanks, he's got it on target. And it's a wonderful save by Fleming. Really, really good save. And at that point, like I said, if we'd gone 2-0 up, I think we would have gone on to see the game out, and, you know, he kept his team in it to 1-0 down.
Yeah, we were just sort of, I wouldn't say sort of cruising to half time, but obviously we were far and away the better side, and you could sort of see it was basically it was almost what a one way traffic. I think they had maybe one chance. It was a header that went well wide, I think it was, but other than that, they were pretty quiet. And then Dick Campbell makes a change, makes a substitution, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before half time, and brings on Miller, and the warning signs straight away of what was to come came about pretty quickly after Miller came on, and he almost scored and probably should have scored just before half time.
Yeah, we mentioned it on Saturday. It sort of got vibes for Clyde coming up with Ian McCall, and he made changes pretty quick in that game and completely changed the way the game went, you know, where the game went in terms of not in our favour. And you almost got that feeling the same on Saturday. Dick Campbell, he made that change before half-time, and they were the better team the last 5 minutes of the first half, and then they came out all guns blazing in the second half, and they looked much more assured and confident in the fit they were doing. And that's probably just like seeing an experienced manager picking up something that your team maybe isn't, or maybe picking up a weakness. You know, they're quick to change things, and that's why they've got the experience. They came for their DN. Yes, they're maybe doing it in League 2, but, you know, they're very smart managers. They know exactly what they're doing, and, you know, Dick Campbell, I think, did that on Saturday.
And he made a change at half-time as well. Healy came on, and he was such a difference to East Fife on that left-hand side. And it was like, it was like night and day between the team's performances. You know, we were suddenly on the back foot instead of going forward. East Fife were, as you said, come out all guns blazing. Go back to what you were saying, their experienced managers maybe just knows what to say at half time. Maybe we've gone in there thinking, oh, we're up here, probably should be 2-0, we'll just keep going with the same thing, maybe not recognising that they're making changes or have made a change. Can we then try and capitalise on that? Maybe we should be making a change ourselves. It's the inexperience of the managers maybe in these kind of occasions. That's not a criticism of the two of them, of course, but it just, you know, Dick Campbell's been a manager for, you know, 40 odd years or whatever it is. You know, he's been in the game a long time, and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience that he can call upon. I think The first half was good for us. I would have been surprised if we, you know, tried to change things. Maybe the slight critique would be, once we've seen how the first 5-10 minutes have gone, maybe reacting a wee bit quicker, maybe trying to not go defensive, but just try to see where the problem areas are. Can you move the personnel about that you've got? Do you change system for 5-10 minutes, try and match them up? But yeah, once Dick Campbell made the change in the first half and the one at half time, the ascendancy was off for East Fife, and, you know, they looked the better team.
They did score. It was Healy that was involved with it. He gets a cross in with it, and Troutman with it with the header. comes from, you know, a 50-50 in the middle of the park, which Donny Strachan at Disney win, or East Fife win it, whatever way you sort of look at it. There's maybe a criticism that, okay, Danny's out of position and that's how we've lost the goal. But actually, when you see it back, there's plenty guys back. Jack Brown gets back into that area to cover, which is exactly what you're looking for. And you've got everybody else there as well. But I just think by the time the cross comes in, we're a bit static.
I think there's a lot of grass between where he picks up the ball and where actually, you know, where the cross comes in. I think we've got to defend it a wee bit better. That's maybe the naivety. I think we're pushing for that second goal that probably would have, you know, killed the game off, and we've allowed them in. It's frustrating because we've touched on the first shot on target, but it's a poor goal to concede because of where, you know, it's almost like in a 6-yard box that the cross has come in, he's gotten on the end of it. Just wonder whether it could maybe have been a wee bit more on the front foot rather than sort of, this time we're ball watching it coming in, but I just feel we could have maybe been a wee bit more proactive, because I think there was only like two touches between the boy winning the ball back and then the cross coming in and them scoring from it. So a disappointing goal to concede, any goal that you can see is disappointing, but especially that one where he's actually scored from. And yeah, you see by their reaction, they felt that they were, you know, completely back in the game. And you watch the highlights back, and their commentator even says, "We've got a complete, you know, we've got a different game now. We're game on or something." Mm-hmm. And that's probably the turning point that they felt that they would kick on from.
And as I said, Jack Brown did get back and sort of facing up Healy, but he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be, you know, coming up against a tricky winger like Healy and. You know, Healy had the beating of him, and I just think as well, the back post, I don't know if Flynn had switched off or if he was just a bit slow to react, but Troughton had easily beaten him with a header.
Yeah, maybe he switched off a little bit, maybe not expecting the cross to come in, but you've always got to be expecting it. You know, you're taught that as a defender, always expect it. Jack's there, but I think he's quite set to try and block it or to defend the cross. But taking none away, it's a good cross and a good finish for their point of view. Like I said, every goal he concedes is disappointing, but especially from where he scored from.
Ryan Strachan had a terrific shot on his left foot at the edge of the box, and again produced another fine save for Fleming. Don't know where Ryan Strachan got that from, but he took it out of his back pocket or wherever he found it. But there's a few times, not just in that game, but this season, he sort of picked up the ball and said, well, there's a bit of space here, I'm going to drive in. And that's maybe sometimes what you're looking for, just something a little bit different. It did end up with a shot, which was, again, as I said, well saved for Fleming. And sometimes it maybe just takes that to turn a game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be... It wouldn't be high up in the list of goal scorers of Ryan Strachan, 25-yard effort on his left foot curling in the top corner. Keeper's made a really good save, to be fair, because it is going in. He's been able to palm it away. And yeah, like you said, for the first time, he's seen a bit of grass in front of him. He's hit an effort. I would think he's better on his right foot, but when you can take a shot like that on your left, your so-called weaker foot, it's maybe something Ryan should try more often. He does like to try and bring the ball out of defence. He just thought he was deep or sometimes play the pass, but you know, if you've got that sort of range of shooting in you, then sometimes it's maybe worth a dig, especially with the wind that you get in Balmoor as well, going down the hill a wee bit. Maybe worth a dig from time to time.
Yeah, you just never know. So, and you know, the next time he does it, he might go, you know, 10 feet over the crossbar, but you know, at least he's had a pop, because sometimes we're a bit reluctant to hay efforts for range.
Yeah, but I mean, if you take a range, a shot for 20, 25 yards and it bounces in front of the keeper and, you know, ricochets back in the path of McAllister or Shanks, and you know, you get the rewards of it. We've seen many a shot at that goal gone miles over the bar. I mean, we've had Scott Brown and Simon Ferry here, so, you know, we've seen it a few times going high, wide and sailing. So, yeah, sometimes hey, a dig and, you know, you might get the rewards of it. It takes a bobble, a ricochet off a defender or whatnot. But yeah, sometimes we try and score the perfect goal at times. Sometimes we don't get the ball wide enough and just take a cross shot or a, you know, an effort and goal for 30 yards. Maybe something we can maybe try more of.
East Fife probably could have won it near the end. Troughton and Siobhan both had the opportunities that they blazed them over the crossbar. Certainly they were the better side. Second half, as we said earlier on, we were at the better side first half, and probably in the end, a draw was maybe just the right result for the game overall.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have been aggrieved if they'd come away with all 3 points. I think other than their keepers made a few good saves throughout the match. I think that 2 chances they had at the end, one was a lot closer than actually what I thought it was. Looking back in the highlights, I think it was the second one. I think a point was probably a fair result. I think both managers will be reasonably satisfied with it. It keeps, it's another point on the board for us. It keeps their unbeaten run. It also keeps the gap the same between the two sides as well. I think a point, it's 4 points for our last 2 games at home. You'd have liked 6, but I think 4 is pretty respectable.
And we both sort of commented on the Saturday in terms of how the balance of the side was, and it seemed to be a little bit better than maybe what it had been in recent weeks. And certainly think with Shanks playing that role up there on his own, but with the added advantage of having Jinky on one side, Hamish Ritchie on the other, but getting the support from Peter Paul and Ryan Jack seemingly more quickly as well, seemed to help his game quite a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is not a slant on anyone, far from it, but that's, twice now Andy McCarthy's in the start of the game. I'm not sure. Joe McKee, Andy McCarthy, two very, very good players, but I'm just wondering, can they both play in the same team? Because I do think we're more of a... We look better offensively when we've got just the one of them playing. Joe's played the last couple of games, he started, and yeah, you've got that creative player. So I just wonder, do we need the both of them? Sometimes we're maybe restricting ourselves, we don't get forward enough. And yeah, I think the fact that you've got Jinky being more direct, Hamish, you've got Peter Pollitt, Jack Brown, you've got the pace of Kieran Shanks being a nuisance as well. I do like it, but I'm just wondering whether there is a team that can, accommodate both Andy and Joe.
They're very similar players, and I think that's maybe where that sort of clash comes from. They both like to come deep, get the ball, and start the momentum going forward, start the plays. And when you've both got them sitting next to your centre-halves, it's very difficult to find any space if you're that sort of one midfielder that is left. Whereas in the last 2 games, it's obviously just been Joe. In that way that, as I said, you can get Pollitt forward, you can get Jack Brown forward, or Alfie Shoot, whoever it is that's sitting in there in the front of him.
Yeah, you made the point on Saturday that there was a goal kick, and whilst I know many a teams will deep, your defensive mid comes deep to get the ball, but Joe McKee gets the ball, and you've got your two centre-halves and you've got your two full-backs, but then there's a massive area in the middle of the park for there's Neddy, because obviously you've got Peter Paul and Hamish and Jack playing further forward. So that's the only danger when he comes too deep. But yeah, I think that Andy and Joe's played in the same team many a times before, and we've got good results and good performances of it. So they can play together. I'm just wondering, now that we've seen with only one of them, whether the team can, the style can maybe change to try and accommodate both of them.
That was Peter Pollitt's first goal for the club since he joined in January, and we were asked the question last week before the game, and we sort of gave our opinions of him. Now that he's got his first goal, he's been there a wee while, what have you made of his performances so far?
Yeah, it's been okay. I don't think he's done anything fantastic. I also think he's done anything bad. I mean, you can pick out he's a fantastic, is it a pre-assist they would call him these days for Dunham Forfar, the pass that he took out basically the whole team. He said flashes of quality that we know he's got. You're just looking for him to do an American consistent basis, but we've also got to bear in mind that he hadn't played proper football for 6 months. It takes time to come back and play. Yeah, you can say, oh, he's playing at a League 2 level. Yeah, but he's still got to get his fitness. He's still in amongst a very good group of boys as well. So it's a very good sign. I think we'll probably see the best of him next season with a good pre-season under his belt as well. So far he's done okay, but you're always looking for that little bit more. Hopefully he'll kick on next season and give us what we know we can get from him.
It was interesting to hear Ryan's comments after the game saying that, if anybody's expecting him to be a goal scorer, obviously he doesn't know his game, and you're right enough, you look at his games to goals ratio, it's not great, but that's not his game. His game is being the creative player, finding players, getting the assists for other players. And maybe this is just the wee monkey off the back a little bit. If he is going to be playing in a midfield three, and it's allowing him to go a little bit further forward, because we've tried to find positions for him, and I don't think we've sort of found that right position for him yet. Since he's come in, you know, he's played in the left, he's played in the right, he's played as a number 10, he's played centre midfield. So those kind of combinations maybe has worked against him a little bit, but you know, we seem to be finding him playing a little bit better now that his fitness is getting better.
Probably, yeah. I certainly think he's better just in behind the striker, almost like a number 10 role. Try to find that yard. I don't think Peter Paul's game's ever been goal scoring. As you said, he likes to be the person creating the goals, creating that yard of space. And he can't do that. The way he runs and he's got that low centre of gravity, he can sort of take players out very quickly. He's got that burst of pace when you need it. You know, you've seen that with him, with the way he scored on Saturday. You know, he got into the box, but it's clever play as well. I think if we can sort of nail down a position for him, especially going into next season as well, and, you know, you get a good pre-season under your belt with him in that area, I think we'll see the best of him next season.
Yeah, he could frighten a few League One defences next season.
Oh, bold statement there. I could come back to honest.
I was about to say, somebody's about to clip at you later on. Right, let's get some of your comments for the game on Saturday then. Let's start with George Buchan. Another 2 points dropped. I feel Peterhead still missing that spark to kill off a game. With the ball 12 yards in their half and we passed it back to Stuart McKenzie. Need to be more clinical up front. Richard Fraser, definitely need to be more clinical and playing nice football at the back creates nothing. There's an argument that we need to be more clinical, but I think, as was pointed out earlier on, there was the saves for Fleming and the East Fife goal obviously kept them in the game. One of those goes in, it changes the complexion of it.
We need to be more clinical in front of goal, because we did have the chances on Saturday, but when you're up against a keeper like Fleming and the saves that he did make, I'd be more worried if we weren't creating the chances. If we only had one shot or two shots, then I'd be a wee bit more worried. But, you know, we're creating the chances. On another day, you score three or four. And it's that small margins that, you know, dictate where you'll finish in the division. But, yeah, I take on board that we probably do need to be more clinical in front of goal.
And I sort of take George's first point about we're still missing that spark to kill off a game as well. And we have got the players that does have that spark. You know, we've got Jakey, we've got Hamish Ritchie, Jack Brown, all these kind of guys that have got that. Peter Paul, as we said as well, they've all got it in their locker. But sometimes you, in a game like that one on Saturday, you're looking for somebody just to take the bull by the horns and just say, right, we need to turn this game in your favour.
Yeah, and I think you could label that as for the last 3-4 months even. You know, even going back to our early December form, it's been patchy. I don't think we've missed that spark. I wouldn't say even the creative spark. It's just a case of, I think, the fact that we're not scoring as much and we have conceded a few more than what would have liked. You sort of, I wouldn't even say you worry, but there's always that fear that you might concede. And I don't think we've really put many goals past teams in the last couple of months either. So that, you know, winning games breeds confidence, and that's probably something, well, we haven't done it enough this calendar year. But, you know, I think if you were to look at the start of the season, you'd be sitting here 18th of March, you're sitting, you know, in the top four. It's probably where we'd have expected to be.
Maybe Alfie Stewart might have been that creative spark on Saturday. You just never know. Go back to that point again. Colleen Cow, good first half, but second half dragged a bit. Need to push on for the goals. Andrew Milne, definitely a better team. Think we were a bit latchy on the pass and play at times. Danny Strachan put in a great shift. The referee was a bit off point with some of his decisions. However, his linesman didn't help either. East Fife's keeper kept the score down with some great saves. Kevin Stewart started well and had all the play in the first half. Their keeper kept them in it. East Fife stuck at us in the second half and got their goal. We dug in and we should have won the game, but their keeper made sure they got their point. So, I was going to say that the first couple of points made by George and Fraser saying we need to be more clinical, and then the next 2 points the keeper has kept them in the game.
Yeah, that's the brilliance of football. You know, how you persevere the game, how you look at the game is completely different to how somebody else will be. Some folk think it's 2 points dropped. Some folk say, well, when the chances, it's a point gain. We continue, keep the run going. And that's the beauty of it. But yeah, I think Kevin sort of summed the game up pretty well there. You know, a very balanced view.
Neil Thompson, easier said than done, but we need to stop settling for having control in games without going on and winning them. Been a decent season, really, but much better. But could have been much better. Graham McLean, Kieran Shanks deserves praise for his play today. No attempts at cheap fouls, road tackles well, and look more of a threat than doing so. And as what I was saying earlier on, you know, he did seem to be much more in his game on Saturday than maybe what he has been previously.
Yeah, he's had a rough time lately. He's not scoring as much as what he'd have liked. They get some of the decisions from the referee that he'd probably have liked either, but thought he was really good on Saturday, led the line really well, moved into the channels when he hit, was able, you know, right place at the right time. Okay, he didn't score, but he was there for the chances, and another day he did score.
So, we look to our next game now down at the Stenhouse Muir, and unfortunately, there was a worry that they might win the title in this game. However, because we got our point on Saturday, they cannot win the title on Saturday. I mean, they can go 18 points clear with 18 to go and pretty much have one hand on the handle of the trophy, but it's not going to be a title party there. But what we don't want to go doing there and is pretty much hand it to them.
No, you want to make them work for as long as possible. It would take one almighty collapse for Sterry and one miraculous run of form for us to win the title. But yeah, you don't want to go down with a whimper. You want to make them fight for it. Kick it down the road another week. Go down there, put on a really good performance. You know, that sort of performance. A wee bit like Fit we did up in here in January. We beat them and I thought we were really going to kick on. You know, and it didn't really happen. So hopefully we can go down there and get a win on Saturday. That'll kick us on for what will be the remaining six games and, you know, go into the playoffs with a good bit of form behind us.
Yeah, we essentially now have to win 7 out of 7 if we've got any chance of catching them. And obviously then relying on Stenny to drop points as well. But only one win in their last six, four draws. They're almost sort of limping over the line at this stage, having that great 13 winning game run or whatever it was.
But there's a chance.
Oh, there's always a chance.
There's always a chance. Yeah, well, I think we conceded a couple of weeks ago. It was playoffs for us. I want to go into the playoffs with a good bit of form. Hopefully that'll start on Saturday. Good performance, get a win. Because, you know, what a win. But, you know, that would give you a massive bit of confidence going down there to the champions elect and actually, you know, coming away with 3 points. Be a massive boost for us going into, as I said, the last six games.
There is a chance, and the fat lady's not quite singing yet, but I mean she's at stage right, she's ready to walk on stage just about it and there. But the previous three games between the two sides, 0-0 with a 2-0 loss down there previously, we beat them up here 2-1 to end that run of theirs. So the games have been pretty tight, nothing much in it, and I'd probably expect the same thing again.
Yeah, I don't think this game will have many goals. You're probably looking at one goal edge in it, to be fair, even going on the past results as well. But yeah, go back to that. I want to get in there and get the win, give us that bit of confidence. I don't imagine there'll be many changes to the team either. I think the team played well on Saturday, but you're just looking to see if we can get that creative spark and, you know, and go down there and get the win.
Just wonder if maybe they'll look to maybe start Rory McAllister, you know, coming up against the size of their defence and their experience of their defence, you know, like Buchanan, Meachin, Jameson, etc. You know, his experience, his strength might be required up against them.
Yeah, I think if you're doing that, you're probably changing the system slightly. Depends on how they go about it. You know, it depends on injuries as well. Find out training over the week. Rory will give you something obviously different than that Kieran's got. I think if you've got the two of them up, it's a very ambitious thing. You know, so you're definitely looking for the win. But Rory will be up there and possibly, you know, ruffling a few feathers, hopefully getting the knockdowns for a chance to put some away. But yeah, you'd probably be looking to change the system, I think, if you're bringing Rory in.
We'll maybe also need to check, make sure Aberdeen reserves or youth isn't playing at some point this week as well. But you know, as we're sort of saying, we need to win every game. You know, a point maybe wouldn't be too bad of a result going down there. Given that, you know, even if the Dumbarton and Spartans both win as well, we'll still be sitting second.
Yeah. Stenny, as you said, their form's not great either. I don't think we should be going down there with a fear of, oh, you know, we'll get beat or trying to keep the score down. I think we're a very good team. We've got really good players from our squad as well. You know, okay, maybe the last couple of months hasn't quite been the form that we've hit the early season. But I don't think any team we go to we should be worried about. It's exactly the same on Saturday. We've got a good team, good quality. I want us to get down there and put on a good show and win the game.
I mean, this is a new experience for them as well, being in this position. You know, if we continue to try and put the pressure on them, you know, by winning the but winning this game, the collapse would start, but the doubt maybe starts to creep in. You know, instead of being, you know, maybe being 18 points clear or 15 points clear, then it comes down to 12.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have loved to have gone into this game only being, what, 5-6 points behind him, because then it would have been a massive game, and yeah, it would have put a massive seed of doubt in their mind as well. I think the gap's too big now. I think even if they lose the game, they'll always think, right, another 3 points, or, you know, we'll get over the line. It's the hardest bit in football, getting over that winning line. We've seen it before. I think it was Dumbarton last season. They were well cleared at the top of the league at the turn of the year, and, you know, a massive collapse, and then ended up they getting promoted. So it's happened before. I don't think it'll happen this season with Stenny, but I want us to go into the game looking for the win, and, you know, give us that confidence for the last few games.
And as we've seen with the results sort of elsewhere as well, you know, Spartans maybe just hitting a bit of a wall, Dumbarton, you know, winning handsomely on Saturday as well. Form at this stage of the season, going into the playoffs, it will be key.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And you want, like you said, you want to go into the playoffs in a good bit of form. Teams will take points off each other. I think there will be a few points dropped between now and the end of the season between the teams, you know, Spartans, Dumbarton and ourselves. I think East Fife are now too far away. I think it'll be difficult for them to close the gap. That's why the point on Saturday might not be a bad point come the end of the season. But it's just going into the playoffs with a bit of confidence and, you know, looking at the team and thinking, yeah, we're back to hitting the heights that we've done at the start of the season. And yeah, I'm confident we can get there.
Right now on the Blue Team podcast to get his take on Saturday's game, and hopefully not to be bragging too much, is Angus Blacklock. Angus, welcome back to the Blue Team podcast. How are you?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good, thanks. Good to be back on.
It looks as though you're going to be winning the title, but almost maybe limping over the line slightly.
Yeah, I think it feels that way. I mean, there's always going to be a drop-off after you ended the 12-game winning run, because you can't just go on and have a flawless record. But I think some of the other sides in the leagues have picked up, but I think Stensbury, we've dropped off a wee, but still, we're still not losing many games, apart from the Clyde one. It's just still draws, lots of draws at the moment, but seems that it's just a matter of time before the inevitable, I think.
Yeah, the inevitable seems to be around the corner. Fortunately for us, you're not going to win it on Saturday. That's the thing. A lot of draws. We've had the same. I think we've actually got the same amount of draws, eight each this season. So we sort of can sympathise with you there. But you know, let's go back to the previous game between the two sides. The 2-1 win for us up at Ballinmore, ending that run of yours. What was your sort of take on that game?
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly even game. I don't think Stenishmere played their best, but it was one of those matches that we had quite a few in the winning run where it could have gone either way. But then, I thought Spearhead played okay. I thought this it was a disappointing result for Stennis here, but off the back of the 12th game win run, there's more just I think pride and a sense of achievement of what had been achieved by the group of players and the fans up watching it.
I guess the longer the streak went on, the more the pressure maybe built in terms of like you didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I suppose there was probably a bit of that. I think everyone had the number 14 in the minds because that was Gretna's record. Mm. But look, the run, Stennis being a part-time team, beat Rangers' record. Gretna as well, they were full-time. So the run was a great achievement, but I think there's a few games in the run where probably didn't play our best and still managed to get those wins. But Balmore was just a case of probably didn't play our best and didn't get a result, but it could have gone either way.
I mean, you go back to the beginning of the season when the two sides met up at Balmore for the 0-0 game, and I think it was a very tight game. I think it was two sides who were evenly matched, and it's been that way for most of the season. And it was quite obvious maybe at that stage of the season the two sides were going to be 1-2. It was just a matter of who was going to be which way around.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. That Stennis were probably one of the only teams in the division that managed to find that wee bit of consistency with the win and run. Again, not lost too many games, but Peterhead right up there after coming down last season. But yeah, I think you should have a good chance of getting at the playoffs. And but yeah, I think both teams have had reasonable seasons. So yeah.
I'm not going to let you away with it, but the Clyde game, what the hell happened there?
I don't know. A bit of shock still. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw the result coming, let alone the scoreline. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the first two goals that I got were avoidable from a Stennis Muir point of view. And look, I'm not saying Stennis Muir would have gone on to win the game if we go on at half time, but we don't lose at 6-1. Because you go on at half time, 2-2, and then you come out second half, you're thinking, right, Gary Maysville had the word with the players and come back out in the second half and get on it, and then they go and score 3 goals in the first 15 minutes. It just kills you off. And there's just a state of shock with the players, management team, staff, fans, and yeah, not a result anyone saw coming. And I think the response against Bunnyright the week after was big as well, because whenever we've had a setback this season, the game after we've won, you look at Clyde, the Clyde game winning away at Bunnyright, the Peterhead game winning at home to Dumbarton the week after. So a big performance against Bunnyright to get 3 points.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing actually. Is you know, as you said, you've had a setback, but then the following week or the following game managed to rectify that. Whereas I think that's maybe been the difference between you guys being so far ahead and us sitting in second. Whereas we've maybe had a blip. That blip was going on for maybe 2 games, maybe a third game, then maybe a fourth game, and that's where the gap was gone. And that's, I guess, for you guys, is it a sign of, you know, champions, if you like, you can get over those setbacks.
Yeah, it's been important all season. When you suffer a setback, you respond well and get a positive performance and a good result. I don't think Stennis Muir, they've not had a really good performance in a number of weeks now. I think even during the winning run, there was times where we were not at our best, and it's just getting the wins and then bouncing back. You look at all the other teams in the division, they not really feel get a run when they have a disappointing result. They can't bounce back and get the win again. But yeah,
it's just 1-6 though in your previous games, 4 draws in that one though. As I said, maybe just a slight kind of hint of, you know, limping over the line. A win on Saturday would make it 18 points ahead with 18 to go, and obviously that would pretty much near enough guarantee the title bar goal difference.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a point on Saturday where it looked like this Saturday could be there's a possibility that it could have been this Saturday, but yeah, it's just important that keeping it's 1-6, yeah, but I think important that have a good performance, get a victory. But even with that sort of sticky run of form, our lead at the top of the table's gotten bigger, which I think says a lot about the, not state of the league, but in terms of the fact that this league, everybody can beat everybody, take points off each other. And yeah, it's just one of those things where it does seem that we're just limping over the line ever so slightly.
And what would a Peterhead win do then for your guys? Is confidence, would it dent it much?
I'm not sure. I think we've got a very solid group of players at Stenishmere. I think you look at after the Clyde game, they would be getting messages off their mates or whatever, like, what's happened here, what's happened, blah, blah, blah. But I think the mental strength of the team's really good. Whenever we've had the sort of setback, we've been able to bounce back. So I don't think it would do too much. I think probably just delays the inevitable by a couple of weeks, probably.
In the previous three games, it's a win apiece, and that 0-0 as well. You won the previous one at your place. I don't think we played particularly well, but you guys have maybe played that better and won it 2-0. What are you expecting in this one again? It would be another tight one?
Yeah, I think so. That midweek game, I think it was, when we won 2-0, I think that's one of Stenishmere's best performances this season. But yeah, two even sides. You said yourself, Peterhead drawing a lot of games at the moment, Stenishmere drawing a lot of games at the moment. I think only leads to a draw, I think, this Saturday.
Yeah, we were sort of saying earlier on as well, in terms of, you know, the game, how much a draw would mean, and I think actually a draw might be a decent result for us, because it would still mean, despite results elsewhere, we'd still be second. So it might be one of those games, actually, it might just sort of peter out if it is 1-1 or 0-0.
Our game against Spartans last week was a bit like that. It just seemed two sides that were scared to go and get that winner. It was not a match for the ages. Now that it was Saturday, it just seems quite defensive at the moment. But yeah, I think Saturday could be big if we were to win it.
The other thing, obviously, you're going for as well is the league title is Matty Aitken's looking to be the top goal scorer in the league as well. I think he's one behind Henderson at the moment, so he'll be looking to finish on a high as well.
Yeah, definitely. Matty's been as far as being sort of in and out since the time of the year. I think he's only got three since January, but yeah, he'll have his eye on the goal scoring leaderboard and looking to get back to the top of that.
And I don't think he's actually managed a goal against us yet either, so that'll be something else that he'll want to try and rectify as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think he had a poor game up at Ballymore, and it seems that when Matty Aitken plays well, Stenishmere play well, because look, our attacking play goes through Aitken and just get ball up to him before he can hold off the defenders and get a team up in park is vital for Stenishmere.
And it's maybe too early to sort of look ahead, but you know, you really, guys are obviously looking forward to getting up into League One as champions, as it inevitably will be. I think it's been 4 or 5 years since you've been in League One as well, so you'll obviously be looking forward to being in the third tier again.
Yeah, quite a few teams in League One that Stenishmere haven't played in recent years, but then some teams that Stenishmere have played in recent years, they'll be looking to obviously do better than last time when they were relegated in, I think it was 2018, maybe 2019. But yeah, I think we've got the core sort of signed up for next season. We look at Dan Jameson, Nicky Jameson, Gregor Buchanan, Mikey Anderson, Matty Aitken. There's a real core that have signed up for next season, so to keep that core will be important for next season.
And not some of the names you mentioned there, Buchanan and Jameson and Meacham and those kind of guys, very experienced at this level. Has that been one of the keys for you this season?
Yeah, 100%. I think just having that sort of experience, especially in the defence, is vital for any side that want to challenge for a league title. And we've also been very fortunate with injuries. We've not had any real setbacks. Nicky Jameson missed about a month, just there, probably, you know, like in line with our drop off. I think there's no coincidence in that. I think there's only Kenley Billen played all the matches. The back four was jiggled about all over the place. So I think lucky with injuries and having so much experience in the squad has been been great for the Warriors this season.
And if you look back at the beginning of the season, this has probably gone well beyond your even the most positive thoughts of how this season would have gone. Just sum up how you found this season.
Entertaining, just watching the side up and down the country has been amazing, a pleasure to do. Just really entertaining season. That winning run was very special and something that all the players and staff should be really proud of.
Just one more thing before I let you go. I just wanted to touch on just how great the Stennis Muir media content has been this season. I've particularly been impressed by yourselves and a few of the other League 2 sides as well. So it's great that you guys are putting in so much hard work and effort into it. And I know that some of the guys have been working hard behind the scenes as well. And the content's been brilliant.
Thank you much, Colin. Much appreciated. Some kind words there.
Yeah, no, it goes. I think it's worth. I guess you get that for your own fans as well. But it's. I think some of these occasions, it's good to get for the opposition as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Respect that.
Good stuff, right? So hopefully, we're talking again next season, but in League One. But it's been great to catch up with you over the course of the season. I know we had Connor on a couple of times as well, so maybe yourself or him next season. Fingers crossed we're both in League One. But pleasure to meet you over the course of the season. Obviously, you will be winning the title at some point, and we'll look forward to the coverage of that the title trophy and that title party at the end of the season. But best of luck with next season anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much, Colin. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Angus Blacklock for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Stennis Muir, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and see you very soon.